Lions with it, second and goal from the 8, down 6, but on the move. Chris working from the gun, looks out to the right, now checks out that Viking defense. Takes the snap, back to pass, looks right, got Chase in the end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions. That's it, packs the bag, starts the plane. This game is over. How big is that? And now it's time to start the Detroit Lions podcast.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions podcast, your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, two guys who haven't scored since 1958, Chris and Case.
Hey, hidey-ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions podcast. This is episode 116. This is the official Detroit Lions podcast for Reddit. I am your dashing host, Chris, and with me is my good friend and co-host, Case. How are you doing, my man?
Chris, I'm good, but I'm going to have to start calling you Harvey from now on.
Huh? Why would you do that?
Because you're a natural disaster.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, today's show, as usual, it is a natural disaster. It's just Case and I this week, and guys, we're ribbed for your pleasure. Also, we're going to talk about Casey Redfern. He's out for the season. That's not nearly as fun as the first point there. Real heartbreaker to see him go. We've got a Kenny Golladay holiday coming your way. We're going to break down the Lions' performance last week. We're going to look ahead to next week. We're going to go around the division. We're going to talk about post-game shows and a whole lot more. We got a great show lined up. Case, you ready to go, my man?
Irma Gerd. I'm ready to roll.
Oh, God.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, a couple of quick announcements. First, the post-game show, it is a reality. It hasn't gone away. I was just getting the biggest blowjob of my life from a hurricane last week, and we weren't able to do it. So I apologize, guys. The other thing, though, is week two, it's Monday night, and you all need your beauty sleep. So there's not going to be a post-game show, live show this week. After that, we're back on track. We'll be doing them. We'll have a parade of guests coming through, guest hosts, guest everything. It's going to be a good time. Please make sure to tune in for those. And again, guys, I apologize. I cannot control the weather as much as many people think I can. Don't miss our tweet stream at DetroitLionsPodcast.com. It's right up there on Get Social. We've got a great stream of all the Detroit Lions players, their tweets all aggregated. One place, you don't need Twitter to get it. It's a great place to see the information, see what those guys are talking about without getting involved in that ugly, ugly Twitter stuff. Make sure to check us out and help us out on Patreon, patreon.com. It is a great place to help out the show. We've got a special thanks to all of our friends, including Dylan from
Guam.
And make sure to be careful out there, Dylan. Also, Michael, Matthew, Eric, Lucas, Joel, Nick, Noodle, Jeffrey, Brendan, Justin, John, Rand, Ross, Matt, Morgan, Randy, Peter, Matt G, Kalen, Scott, Joel, Greg, Marcus, Lucas, Danny, David, Richard, Bryce, Chuck Nasty, Jason, Fight Me, Case, Mike K, Floundericious, and of course, our very first donor, Mathis. We also want to call out our newest patrons. We got Jenna, Miak, Malcolm, and the newest one, Dan. Thank you all so very much for joining us and helping us out. It is much, much appreciated. Just got the studio back together. It's a fribbin' mess in here, but very, very soon we're going to have some video for you guys, specifically for you Patreon donors, so you can see all the shenanigans that go on behind the scenes when we record the podcast. If you'd like to join the Patreon crew, head on over to patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Or just go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on that Patreon link. Anything you can part with for a monthly basis is most appreciated. Helps keep the show going. Helps us do a lot of these silly things that we do. Make sure to give us a like on Facebook. Facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. Facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. And, of course, on the Twitter machine at DETLionsPodcast. That's at DETLionsPodcast. It's the very best place to see Case.
Zubang ganai.
Oh my God, I'd rather just see without pants. All right, rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you find us. Make sure to give us that review and let people know what to expect. Those 5-star jobs are the best. And remember, if we don't start getting more 5-star reviews from you guys, we're going to start reading them on the air. Lastly, don't forget to leave us a voice message via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast. It's all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast. Or give us a call on the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS. That's 929-335 800-919-4667. We got Roche on the line this week. He's got a great message we're going to share with you in a little bit. You too can leave a message and get a chance to hear yourself on the show.
Tighten your chin straps, kids. It's time to review this week in Reddit.
All right, it's time to talk about all the fun and exciting things going down this week in Reddit. And, you know, let's start out with the important stuff here. Me. Right, Case?
Yeah, you. You're important.
Now, I want to apologize, everybody, for last week's debacle. The kerfuffle debacle. We, you know, it literally, I'll just tell you guys the story straight up. The moving truck was pulling out of my driveway, and we were starting to batten down the hatches for the hurricane. And the very next day, I had my neighbor out there teaching me how to put hurricane shutters up. There was just no break in everything that was going on. We just couldn't get a show out there. And it really, really sucked that it happened on the first week of the season. And, the worst time possible. So, Irma, go.
It was super inconvenient, Chris.
Yeah, it sucked. I hated it. So I'm sorry to everybody. But on the plus side, I got the biggest blow I've ever gotten. So stepping into Lions stuff, let's talk about the ideal male body. This is from Al-Anon 2020. You may not like it, but this is what peak performance looks like. And it was a gorgeous picture of Matt Prater with, I don't know if you'd call it a muffin top. You may go all the way into the like a mushroom top on this one, right?
he looks like a old school UFC fighter before they were all, you know, peak physicality. They all kind of looked, you know, they all kind of had dad bod, but like it was clear they were buff, but at the same time
buff under the fluff.
There's a little like a layer there.
buff under the fluff, baby.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
That is a great look. And you can't help but love Prater, right? He is everything you want in he's everything you want in a football player, much like Tom Brady. I always talk about Tom Brady being just like having it all, but Matt Prater has it all in just like a completely different way. It's really all about mentality at that point. You want to eat a hostess cupcake and not worry about it? Matt Prater is your idol, your go-to guy, right? But we saw a lot more of Matt Prater than normal, and it comes at the expense of a guy that he joined us in the previous show, and you got to know pretty well. He's a really, really good guy. Casey Redfern, man, he went out there. He put it on the line on that punt, and he took a shot that I just cringed when I saw it. Yeah. It hurt me to my core, and then to hear that he's out for the season. Here's a guy who's been fighting against bad breaks, who's got an amazing story, and something like this happens while he's fighting so hard.
Finally gets his break. And I mean, he botched the snap, but that happens. And anybody would forgive a guy a botched snap and move on. But to have that be the result, and frankly, after the botched snap, you know, there was some criticism that he didn't try to throw the ball. But I'm much more, you know, impressed that he was able to keep his wits about him enough to, you know, get the ball 10 yards downfield, so that we didn't have to deal with a safety situation. I'm absolutely heartbroken for the kid. As he has told, when he told us, you know, last time we had a show, he will keep fighting, and
absolutely
we will be rooting for him. As I said, no matter where he lands, we will be rooting for him to finally, you know, get a job that he deserves, because he has the talent to and the hard work to earn it.
Yeah, for sure. I've talked to him a little bit since the thing, and he's in good spirits. He is the Casey we knew. He's a guy that's just gonna get it one way or another. No matter what the world keeps slinging at him, he's gonna fight it. He's gonna let it roll off and keep going. So, Case, best of luck to you, man. And I hope we don't. You know, I know it's not the last we're gonna see you in the NFL. And as much as I love Sam Martin, hopefully there's a time or a way that, you know, things work out good for both of you guys, and we can see an Alliance uniform again, because I'm really, really rooting for him. So beyond that, as we were talking about, we got a lot of time out of Matt Prater that maybe we didn't expect. This guy's a machine, right?
And even Stafford had mentioned, you know, it, when he was asked about it, if he had considered the possibility of being the emergency punter. And he said, you know, it crossed his mind, but that he was very glad he didn't have to step in and fill that role. Prater, you know, he didn't screw up. And when you have to get somebody in to, you know, fill in for a role, some of us remember, obviously, Sue missing the kick. When you have all you can expect out of them is to hopefully not screw up, and that's what he did. He did not screw up.
You know, if Jim Schwartz was still the coach, I guarantee it would have been Ziggy Ansah out there doing the punting. Yeah. That'd have been ugly. But no, so that worked out. You know, Prater carried the way, and it's, you know, I don't know. You hate to see that, but it does give you at least a little bit of solace that if we lose a punter that Prater can carry it. I mean, obviously it's the peak physical condition that he's in. It's the hard work that he's put into his body. It's the clean living that's really gotten him there with that mushroom top to be able to play multiple positions on the NFL field.
Yeah. Now, before we move on real quick, we did sign Jeff Locke, formerly of the Vikings. He was drafted, I believe he was drafted ahead of Sam Martin. Somebody will have to correct me if I'm wrong about that, but in the same draft, he came out in the very same draft as Sam Martin. He was drafted ahead of Sam Martin and has since been kicked out of Minnesota. That said, I mean, when you're looking at a situation like this, he'll be serviceable. The big knock on him obviously was he screwed up on a hold and the whole wide right with Blair Walsh, blah 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 situation. So it'll be questionable whether or not he'll be holding any kicks for Prater. I think we were probably looking at Ruduk.
I'm good with that, actually. Kicks. I think that opens up the playbook a little bit. On those kicks, if he's the one holding the ball. So
yeah,
let's just pull out the fake machine. So yeah, that was good. And yeah, Stafford punting that ball. I think anyone that puts him out there to do it should be slaughtered at the most local slaughterhouse, because that would have been the dumbest thing in the world. Put that much money in line to get killed. No, thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to the next one. We got one from BXR Burst Fire. Real talk here. Kenny Galladay's nickname. And it's still a wide open field for choosing the nickname, because it's funny how his name works, because you feel like, oh, it's Holiday, it's Kenny G, it's all that kind of stuff. But I know, Case, your favorite is Babytron, right?
Oh, God, no. I absolutely hate when you have, we have one of the best, you know, wide receivers, at least in his prime, that's ever played the game. He earns a nickname that's, you know, unique, very unique, to him, very unique in football. You know, most nicknames, not all, but like most of them are some variant on the player's name or something like that or whatever. His is nothing to do with his name. His is not something he developed until he was well established in the NFL. And it truly is probably, you know, one of the most unique nicknames ever given. Do not. I mean that. Seriously, all of you listening, stop. Stop it. Try to make a Babytron, what was the other one I saw? Galatron or anything like that happen.
Why, Kesatron? What's wrong with that?
Because he's a different player.
It's too derivative, right? Isn't that the word you want to say?
Right. Even if he becomes an elite wide receiver, which I hope he does, and we'll talk about him and actually his performance in a minute here, but even if he does become an elite player, let him be an elite player in his own right. Let him be him. Don't make him the other guy. Let him be his own star instead of like living in the past in this thing that we know was great. It's like using a derivative, there we go, of a nickname you gave an old girlfriend to a new girlfriend. Just don't do
it. I did that all the time. They thought it was cute. They just didn't know about the
well,
old
there, thing. Well, sometimes you get away with that and like
then you don't call them the wrong name. If you call them all the same thing, right?
but I mean, you get the point. Like in some way, it's messed up and kind of pathetic. Even if you do get away with it, it's still messed up and pathetic. So.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. The Tron thing is gone. Right, Tron is gone. But I think, you know, I would love to hear what other people think of silly, real, whatever. Any suggestions you guys want to call in the Lions line? I would love to see what you guys can come up with. And maybe we'll throw together a little reel. If we get enough calls, we'll throw a reel of potential nicknames and, you know, all the silliness that goes
together.
I haven't
seen anything I love yet.
No, but
I'm not into the smooth jazz thing. That doesn't do it for me. That's kind of a mouthful for a nickname. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't roll off the tongue like Muscle Hamster or anything like
that. So give us a call, the Lions line, 929-33-LIONS. It's 929-335-4667. Let us know what your suggested nickname is. And, you know, I guess everybody should call and say Babytron and then say their real suggestion so we can have a million Babytrons in there to blow Case's head up. But let's hear what you guys think. Let's come up with a good nickname for this guy, because I think there's, man, it, a name like Galladay, there's just so much it feels like you could do with it, you know?
Yeah.
And there's a great nickname in there. It's just no one's thought of it yet. And when somebody does, it's going to be that thing. Why didn't I think of that? You know what I mean? It's going to be simple. It's going to be clean. It's going to be good. But it definitely shouldn't be derivative. And the only reason that Tron thing's coming up is because Calvin used to play here, but he doesn't anymore. Let's move on. The Transformers are old and dumb anyway. So we'll move on from there. All right, let's go to the next one. This is from Big Black 22s. He said he's calling at least 6 sacks on Monday. And let's talk about this defensive line. Let's go a little backwards, and then we'll go forward on this. That line, the defense as a whole, was looking really good. I did not expect that kind of performance out of this defense. I thought they'd be good, but I thought we were going to be criticizing Austin a little bit this year based on everything we had seen before that. And this game, that line looked really good, Case. Really good.
Yeah, and they absolutely did. And you know, of all the things that I was low-key optimistic about coming out of the preseason, that was it. Because they looked good in the preseason, and they surprised me. And there are two specific players who surprised me, and that's Anthony Zettel and Cornelius Washington. Although basically everyone but in this game, I should say Anthony Zettel and Cornelius Washington. But in this game in particular, we still had Ansah like not doing anything. So with the context of that, it's surprising that we could still get a good defensive line performance out of this unit without Ansah having to do anything. I shouldn't say that, but I mean, he certainly wasn't impactful in any major way.
Right. He didn't, his star wasn't rising after this game. He wasn't.
I did see a couple of good snaps from him, but overall it wasn't like it, this is not, we're still not getting Ansah, you know, of the past, which hopefully is, you know, I mean, we heard about this knee thing, but I want to go back to the guys who impressed me, and Anthony Zettel was impressing me all through preseason. And when you get a guy, I talked about a lot how this coaching staff needed to prove to us as fans and prove like it, that they could develop players and get players better than they were. And players like Zettel are the perfect, you know, example of that. A later round pick who didn't do much last year, taking a big step forward. And we have to put in the caveat that we don't really know exactly how good the Cardinals offensive line is compared to the rest of the league. So we'll have to see if our defensive line can continue to get pressures against maybe some better offensive lines. However, we're as Big Block mentioned, he didn't mention, maybe there was an implication there. What I'm saying is Giants don't have good offensive line either. It could be another really solid game for this offensive line based on the performances of guys like Zettel and Cornelius Washington and A'shaun Robinson.
I love A'shaun
showing up. And even Nada, who I wondered about. I wondered if I didn't want to predict that he'd bounce back necessarily, but I wondered if last year's down performance wasn't a fluke. Even if Ansah is still not 100%, I still like our chances to harass the Giants in the backfield quite a bit. I was impressed.
And I'm going to go back to a couple things, you know, from training camp when we were there. Haloti Ngata looks a heck of a lot thinner, man. He looks really mobile, and he looked good out there. He really played a hell of a game. He is going to be something. He's going to look like he's 5-6 years younger this year. I really believe it. Really, he's looking good. A'shaun, his hands have to be, from a perspective size, the size of Mickey Mouse's hands to the rest of his body, right? I mean, those things get up there. They're just like big old swatters. He's a monster. He is... I was a little bit disappointed in him last year. Him and Haloti both were just kind of like hole stuffers. They've both changed their game. God, I love them on the inside together. What a great, great surprise they've been. Mm-hmm. And then head Motown rapper, he had a good one about Zettel having a breakout game. And this is exactly right.
Tackle for a loss. He had a sack. He was instrumental in one of the interceptions. He had pressures galore.
Motown Rapper's talking about the Giants though, and this is the logic on this. Check out this equation. He said Zettel once tackled a tree. Eli has the mobility, mental capabilities, and facial expressions of a tree. Zettel about to put the league on notice.
Yep, for sure.
So it's going to be, and if Ziggy comes to play, like we know he can, holy crap, right? Week one, I don't want to get too over the top, right? And you were like low-key cool about it, like you said, but damn, boy, what a performance from these guys. And you know there's more in the tank. You know they can even be better. So this is exciting, this defensive line all of a sudden.
Of course, the big test will be, you know, when they do run up against a good offensive line. We've got a couple weeks before that. Atlanta's got a good offensive line, so that'll be when they, you know, that's when we find out whether or not this defensive line is like really good or just better than last year.
Well, and remember though, how much we were talking about how good the secondary is this year and how we weren't going to be able to rely on the line so much. So maybe the Falcons is the game where we say, hey. Yeah, they can stand up the line a little bit. Maybe it's just a good line, but not spectacular. But all of a sudden, it's time for our secondary to come play, and there's a shot. Especially after seeing the LOL Bears, how they performed against the Falcons. I know it's week one, and there's a lot of fluky stuff, but that gives me hope for that game three.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like, I expect Atlanta to kind of sort themselves out. They're sorting out a new offensive coordinator situation, and they did miss Shanahan, so it's not as out of reach as it seemed a week ago.
For sure.
And if you want to talk about out of reach, like, I thought the Giants were going to be one of the best teams in the league this year. I did not realize how bad their offensive line is. And so I've had to make, you know, adjustments. And we're actually going to talk about the power rankings on RNFL in a little bit here. But I don't think the Giants are as good a team as they are. As they were last year, because their offensive line is horrible.
Yeah, and, right now they're not, for sure.
Yeah. So actually, we'll talk about the Giants too. So we're getting ahead of ourselves. But I was impressed with the defensive line.
Yeah, for sure. They looked great. Let's talk a little bit about Jared Davis, because you can put him with the front seven, right? I'm going to say what we've been able to so far. He did not look at all as bad as he did in that Patriots game. And I, you know, he talked about that, and we didn't get to talk about it because of the way the whole thing happened with the hurricane and all that and the move. But he talked about, he owned that performance in week three of the preseason. He said that's his, he's on notice. He's going to take it. He's going to learn from it. And he went from a preseason game to the real deal in week one. And he didn't look bad. He didn't look bad at all. I think he had a pretty good game out there. He wasn't spectacular. He's a rookie, right? But he had a really good rookie performance.
And, you know, I'll disagree a little bit. Like, in a lot of ways, he did look bad, but not bad for a rookie.
That's it. He had a good rookie performance.
he was on par with Whitehead last year, which is not a glowing endorsement. But it is to say that to have a rookie in his very first game in the NFL look as good as Whitehead did last year.
Last year's veteran starter.
Right. That's at least, you know, I think we're looking at a step forward, or even over the next few weeks, we'll be looking at something that we can say, okay, well, at least that situation is better than it was. And in this game, that the linebacker situation was better than it was. Now, they didn't try to exploit it the way that a lot of teams did last year, which is one of many dumb things I think the Cardinals did. There's good reason for optimism, even if there's definitely needs to be a lot of improvement on a week-to-week basis. We need to see him taking steps forward.
Absolutely, especially before the division games start.
Yeah.
So he's got himself a good, you know, four weeks. Yeah.
He's got 2 weeks before the Vikings game.
Week four, yep.
And the Vikings are a team that will exploit the weaknesses of our upper linebackers. So that
because
is
important. Because Sam Bradford can't throw the long ball. But
unless his wide receivers are wide open, like
right.
This last week. But
yeah, for sure. All right. So nothing too bad to report there. Let's talk a little bit about the secondary. And we'll start with Woe Matey. He had a good post here in the Reddit. Quandre Diggs is the highest rated cornerback in the NFL after week one, according to PFF. Quandre Diggs. Did anybody expect that? Was that on anybody's pregame scorecard?
Well, first of all, one of the reasons, you know, if you take a broad, you know, perspective on it, not to take PFF too seriously, Quandre Diggs is definitely not the best cornerback in the NFL.
But
he had a good game. He had a very good game, and he was, you know, he faced off against Larry Fitzgerald a bit. He, you know, a lot of the wondering about him in the offseason and the bringing in of DJ Hayden, who didn't have a very good game, but a lot of that was, you know, assumed that he was already out, like that he was done after he had a rough season last year. Would he ever bounce back? And to what degree were the injuries affecting him last year? And I think he showed in a big way that he probably was being affected by the injuries last year. Now, it's only one game, and he didn't have that many targets against him. So, you know, you can't assume too much off of that, you know, kind of situation. But you have to look at it as a positive sign that what happened last year wasn't the end of the story for Diggs. And I rallied for the idea of keeping him on the roster, even though, you know, theoretically on paper, DJ Hayden was an upgrade. I'm glad they kept him, and I'm glad they played him. And it's good to see a little redemption for a guy who had a rough year.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So the rest of the secondary out there, Glover Quinn didn't really show anything.
Now, here's what I will say. And actually, I'm going to pull this back into the sub, because there was somebody who was upset at one of our writers for basically saying, you know, we got lucky on some of those interceptions. I'm going to stick by our writer, and not because I promise you that if I disagreed with our writer, I would let him know.
And I've seen it, actually. I've seen some pretty heated discussions.
But no, I mean, we were pretty lucky that especially on two of the interceptions. One of them, like I mentioned earlier, Zettel got a good pressure on, and that forced the interception. So one of them I will give major credit to the defensive line for creating. But you're not going to get quarterbacks throwing you ducks like that very often. So while
Sam Bradford will,
I hope, if he's under pressure. they were lucky, and I'm sorry that upsets some people. You know, we got more interception, or we got more turnovers in this game than we did in any game last year, and it sets us on a very good path. And I think that we have a lot of players like Miles Killebrew, like Glover Quinn, who I talked about all offseason. All Glover Quinn needs is opportunities, and we didn't give him opportunities last year. All he needs is the opportunity. He's going to make things happen. So I do think that they will improve significantly in that category. They're not going to have four turnovers every week. They're not going to have seven potential turnovers like they had in this game. There were seven times in this game where they almost turned over the ball.
Do you think that's going to double?
I mean, that would be great. But it's not going to happen every week. But to see them be able to take advantage of situations when they're given them is still an improvement over what happened last year when there just weren't any opportunities. So when you look at the way every team basically played them last year, they were able to play it safe and conservative and still kick our asses. They can't do that against this team, I don't think. It's only week one, so we'll have to see what happens. I don't think teams will be able to get away with the kind of stuff they were able to get away with against us last year.
I agree 100%. I think this is a team that's shown some potential. We were worried about some gaps, and those gaps didn't show themselves as big as they could have. The secondary is looking as good as we thought it would at this point. I think Glover did what Glover does when he's allowed to roam, when he's allowed to do his Glover stuff, just like you said. And he's not out there, you know, having to help out another player out there to cover some deficiencies. He was out there and be able to do his thing. And I love it because he does that. He's better than anybody in the business, I think, when he's allowed to. So that's great. And that bodes well for this team as long as they can stay healthy. I think that's a key thing because, ever since I can remember, cornerback is one of the biggest injured positions on this team and on many teams. And it just affects your defense so much when your corners can't play up to speed. Mm-hmm. But corners, safeties, everything out there looked really, really good this week. And I'm excited. I really am about what they've done. And we'll talk a little bit as we talk about the Giants game, what they need to expect and maybe how they need to adjust. But week one, let's just do this really quick. If we were to take a look back at week one and kind of evaluate it, you know, one of the things I'm really big on in the first week of football season is that you can't really evaluate a team. It's not enough data, and there's so much fluky crap that happens that it's just not real, I guess, is the only way I can put it. Now, when I see what we did here, we started out really shaky. And I knew that wasn't the team, but there was a point when, you know, the end of the first quarter, I'm like, look, if this is how this team's going to play, just bring the Hurricane. I was just so frustrated. And then they were able to kind of find their stride and find out who they are. Yes, it was the comeback. Yes, the meme is real and all that kind of stuff. But I think back to last year's first game of the season against Indianapolis, and it was a different type of game. I think we played a worse team in the first game last year, and it was a win that I was really disappointed. I thought we should have beat them a lot better than we did. Yeah. And this week or this, you know, last week here, this year, we came out a little wobbly, but we found our legs and we played strong and we got stronger as the game went on. We beat this team in a way that I thought we could and we should beat this team. And take the first quarter off the board at that point, just to say, hey, they were trying to get their legs under them. So again, not enough data to really read into it, but if they continue that trajectory, that's the team that I was looking for this year. That's the team that I was hoping for. And we'll see what happens this Monday night against the Giants.
Yeah. That this team is able to turn it on so heavily in the fourth quarter and score 20 points. That's a great, great advantage. Hopefully,
well, they start doing the first quarter.
since we've been had this podcast, since before this podcast, it's always been slop in the first quarter, the first half, the first three quarters. That's been a problem.
They used to flip the script though. They would be hot in the first half of a game and fall apart.
That's true.
In the last half too.
You're right.
They couldn't put a full game together. Right. I mean, that was the knock, but.
I should say Stafford specifically
has had it's
not rare to see him come out in the first quarter and immediately do something dumb. And then once he's done something dumb, he, you know, locks in. And it's silly that that's, you know, a thing, but I think that is a thing with him.
You know, from a PR perspective, that first pass being intercepted was probably the best thing that could happen because it just took that whole conversation off the table. Went back. Oh yeah, look at all the money he signed for, and he couldn't throw the ball. Blah, blah. And then we went and won the game. It's like, okay, just shut up and we'll go forward now. That may work out better.
Yeah.
But you know, if, you know, you got a guy like that making money, you're probably making a little bit of money too, right? Everybody says the economy's getting better, but even if it's not, it's time to support your team. And where would you do that? But DetroitLionsPodcast.com. We have the best way for you to get your team gear. And, you know, we're expecting you to buy your Lions stuff now, whether it's a hat, a jersey, the toaster. Toaster's great. Get your Zettel jerseys. No need to jump in the tub with a toaster now. Things are looking good. Let's ride the Kool-Aid train here. But you head to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. You click on that shop link and go on, get your Lions gear. They give us a little kickback for that. And it's a great way to help out the podcast by doing something you were going to do anyway. It's the same thing. If you want to go to Amazon, head on over to the website. Click on the shop link. We'll kick you right to Amazon. But it passes a cookie. And they know that you got there from us, so they give us a kickback and it helps us out. Same thing if you want concert tickets or tickets to the game or whatever, any kind of tickets at all, head on over to DetroitLionsPodcast.com, the shop link, and click on it, go to SeatGeek, and they will take care of you as well. It's a great way to help us out. We appreciate all of you folks that have been using those links. Helps us, you know, there's equipment, there's bandwidth, there's all the stuff associated with putting the show together and trying to make it better and getting the guests and all the different stuff. There's a lot of time and effort that goes into it. So you guys helping support that and make that happen is very, very much appreciated. So again, DetroitLionsPodcast.com, that shop link, it'll take you to Amazon, it'll take you to Fanatics where you get the official gear, and it'll take you to SeatGeek where you can get all the tickets you need. I don't think there's any other place you need to shop in this world other than those three to get what you need. So how about the podcast when you do that? All right, let's move on here. We've got a great article from Ash Crack is his name. Ash Thompson, for those who respect him. That's how we know him. why you should not give up on the Detroit Lions run game. And this is great because this was a game. I think we saw some growth out of Jim Bob Cooter that I didn't necessarily expect. And I'm thinking way back to Linehan's days. We gave up on the run so quickly. It really throughout Stafford's career. Because you've got such a great weapon in Stafford. If the run doesn't work, fuck it. Just throw the ball, right? And Ash makes a great kind of argument as to why not to give up on the run game. And that's what happened this year. You know, for a while there, Abdullah was having a pretty tough go. Averaging, what was it, less than 2 yards a carry for a while in this game. And we kept with it. And that's a sign, I think, again, of maturity in Jim Bob Cooter and his play calling. And I think that's part of what opened the rest of the game up for this team against the Cards. What do you think, Case?
Well, okay, I'm of two minds here.
Wow, I didn't think he had one.
Hey, better than none. yeah, it's they ran the ball 75% of the time on first down. And when you continue to do that and you're having no success, you know, you got to question you have to question it. Now, doing that, running that, you know, 75% of the time on first down allowed for a play action pass to Kenny Golladay that resulted in a touchdown. So there is some method to that madness. So even though it seems like it's not working, it sets something else up. However, they've got to get more than 2 yards of carry on first down, or what? I'm not even sure they had 2 yards of carry on first down. I'd have to look up the statistics, but it was ugly, and that cannot continue to persist. You can't, you know, do that and hope for a play action touchdown every single game. And even if you can, one touchdown isn't going to change the game for you. That is it's a problem. That they can't run the ball on first down. Even teams that make it obvious when they're going to run tend to do better at it by a pretty good margin. If you even if you want to go watch the Chiefs and Patriots game, than we did against the Cardinals. And I like what Abdullah brings to the table. In terms of his ability to make something out of nothing, he wasn't able to do that in this game. That doesn't mean I don't think he'll be able to going forward, but I am concerned. I'm concerned that they won't figure out how to turn those first down plays into 4 or 5 yards as opposed to 2 or 3 yards, because that can be the difference in a drive. Because if you have a 4 or 5 yard rush on first down, you can survive an incomplete pass on second down and still have a relatively high completion, you know, percentage on third down for a conversion rate. You can't if you're only getting 2 or 3 yards. And it's if they're going to run and they're going to make it obvious that they're going to run, which is what they did a lot of the time, something has to be better in the execution. And I'm not exactly sure how to fix that. I don't have an answer here. There are questions, you know, that three out of the five players on this offensive line never played for this team before this game. You know, I mean, preseason and all, but like they never played a game for this team before this week. So you have to hope that that is an improvement. Darren Fells looked like he was doing a good job out and run blocking, but that still didn't turn into actual, you know, into anything that we can hang our hat on. And I don't know when, or I don't know how. So I'm not saying that I have an answer here, but they have to come up with Jim Bob Cooter. That's his hurdle this year. His number one thing that he has to figure out is a way to produce, you know, a 3.5 to 4 yards per carry average for this team. And I don't know how he's going to do it, but he has to.
I couldn't agree more. And again, you know, Cooter's a young guy. I'm seeing growth, and he did stick to the run instead of abandoning it. But
I'm down with the scheme.
I'm gonna ruffle some feathers with this one. I am oft reminded when I see the plays on the field of one Joe Lombardi's play calling or setup.
Totally.
And it is very, you look at it, I feel like Tony Romo, right? You saw him call the game this week.
Yeah.
He had his Karnak hand on. He was calling every play before it happened, right?
Yeah.
I feel like on first down with the run.
If you and me are doing that, that's not a good thing.
No. And the best I can hope is if I'm putting money against Tony Romo, because he showed that he's quite the better. He was betting $5 on TV. He was going nuts with betting. I put money on that. You know, he said that over and over. It's funny. he might double think himself against the Lions, thinking, oh, that's too obvious. So they're going to do something different. Right? No. And that is, you know, he was a little bit, I don't want to say he was a disciple of Joe Lombardi, but he started working under him when he came to the Lions. And I want to see something different on those runs. I don't want them so obvious. There's a place for the obvious run call. There really is. And you grind and you're saying, my guys are going to beat your guys. You know it. I know it. We're going to do it. And there's a play for that. I don't know that we're the type of team that can do that, but you still have to do that because that helps you set up the play action very, very effectively. It is a strategic weapon that you would use in a game, but there are far, far too many times when you see that run and it stalls drive because you know it's coming and it's just the end of it right there.
Yeah.
All right. And with that, you know, I love the progression we're seeing from Jim Bob, but the formation and the setup on the play, they need to sell better because there's far too many times when you know what's coming. But with that being said, let's talk a little bit about the start of this game, and it was a sloppy one. And I said a little bit about it earlier, Case, how week one, you get the flukiest wins of the season in the first week, right? You got New England losing. You got just some crazy stuff that maybe shouldn't happen. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to kind of look through, you know, and make predictions and prognostications. But this Lions game was a little bit, I think, different because they did start so sloppily, and then they kind of found themselves and accelerated into what I think they are as a team. But if this sloppy start happens again, this feels a little bit like, uh-oh, this is the Lions of yore, isn't it?
Right. We've seen this before.
Yeah, it's not a good movie.
We have seen how you know, no matter how good the Lions should be, they are able to shoot themselves in the foot and you know, create insurmountable, you know, situations. But when we look at, you know, the specifics here, the very first throw of the game being a pick six, I don't think that throw was, go back yourself and re-watch it in slow motion or whatever. I'm not even sure who to blame.
I was screaming at Tate myself.
Well, right. And I'm screaming at Tate a little bit too, but he almost got, he almost got himself a defensive pass interference call. Like he almost pulled, you know, so.
Can I say how he would have gotten it? And I might light a fire under you because yeah, I know you're a big Tate fan, but because he gave up.
Yeah.
If he had not given up after that hit and rolled out and said, oh, well, and been like, bam, bam, and fell yeah, and I don't know. I don't want to say dove. Right. But if he had not given up on that play,
yeah,
he probably would have gotten that call. Yeah. And that's why I was so angry with him. And I'm he's not that kind of a player, right?
That's kind of thing. That's
Yeah. I don't want to knock on him because I also love Golden Tate and I know he's a hard ass worker. He doesn't give up on plays. But that one was one where if he had driven through and really pushed, he would have gotten that call. Yep.
And credit to Josh Bynes. He did a very good job of creating that situation.
I love Josh Bynes too. And I just hate that he's on the Cardinals. Yeah. I think he's a guy that's underrated, but not the Superman, but I just like him. He's a good guy.
Yeah. Yep. I'll agree with that. Anyway. So hopefully we saw there was just a ton of it. I mean, the whole first quarter, essentially from the offense, the defense is doing just fine. But the offense, the whole first quarter was just, you know, miscues and not on the same page. Drop from Kenny Golladay. He had two in the game, which we didn't mention, but that's not good.
That's Megatronic. Galatron is here.
The Lions had five drops in the game total, which was most for the week. That makes me cringe a little bit. But
no, Lions and drops. It's all
right.
You know,
I know.
Part of the
we're
game.
Used to it. But
that's how Matthew Stafford throws the ball. Go ahead.
Yep.
I'm just poking all your scabs today. I'm sorry, no, Case. Okay.
and I'm not sure. I think I'd have to go back and look because I wasn't paying specific attention to that particular thing. But I do think there was one throw in particular where you might be able to put that drop on Stafford. Overall, it's just, you know, you have to hope.
You missed me.
Hope that the sloppiness was a week one thing, and that's not.
You missed me, Case. You missed me. You're like saying, oh, okay, you can put one in Stafford. You missed me. Nerd.
I'm not admitting anything.
Oh, that's funny. I missed you too, buddy. I missed you too. So yeah. So what do you think? Is this? So we know that if we keep seeing this, it's ugly. We know that we saw it, and we know that it's week one. What's your inclination to think about week two, week three, week four? Is this how we're going to start games again? Or I mean, because if it is, it's a coaching issue, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely is, and it's always been a coaching issue. We went from one mediocre overall coaching staff to another mediocre overall coaching staff, and that might upset some people to hear me call, you know, these guys mediocre. You have to admit there are times when things aren't operating the way they're supposed to, and there's, you know, whenever you look at a team and there's consistent issues in the way they execute, that's the word I'm looking for. Whenever there's consistent issues with the way they execute, then you look beyond just the talent on the field. And that's I'm not saying we're there this year after one game and one ugly start. They certainly executed fantastic in the fourth quarter, and that's great. And mm-hmm. I won't take that away from the coaching staff either, but we can't see this kind of stuff every week and hope to have a significantly better season than...
You're not going
to
beat the Packers like that.
Right. No, you're not. You're absolutely not.
You need to show up prepared. And that's... I think that, for me, this year is going to be the number one indicator of Caldwell and the coaching staff's growth because we've put a lot of stuff into these guys. You know, people in place to kind of cushion Caldwell's weak spots. This is the nice way to put it because it's week one, right? And now it's time for Caldwell to have these guys ready to show up on the field to play at tick one off the clock through the last tick off the clock. And if that's not happening, then, you know, I don't want to start the call for Caldwell's head already, but this is something that we need to watch throughout the year because it's been a persistent problem.
Yeah.
And it is something that this team needs to look out for because they will never beat the Packers. They will never win the division. They will never win the Super Bowl. They will never go far in the playoffs if they can't play a full 60 minutes of football.
Yep. Yep.
All right, ranty off. Let's talk a little bit. This might be your chance to do a little rant in case, but the NFL, our NFL, power rankings, the NFL is a pretty big subreddit, our NFL, NFL.reddit.com, all those kinds of things. Great place to see all kinds of NFL content from all different teams and some funny takes. You get a feel for what people think about your team, the Lions, and so on. Riz and I do a podcast over there for that subreddit as well. But they have this really, really great thing. I think it was started by some douchebag, but it's the RNFL power rankings. And it's they take a number of people. I'll actually let that douchebag tell you how they do it here in a second. But I'm going to just say, oh, okay. Well, then it wasn't a douchebag.
Well, I won't argue with that point, actually, but I'm not going to go into that. So.
But one of the things that that I've come to really appreciate about it is it's probably the very best team power ranking system and output of any of the ones that I've seen. And the thing about it is remember, you're taking something subjective and trying to make it qualitative. So there's going to be a lot of opportunity for discussion and so on. And that's part of what makes it so great. I think it's a great way to kind of quantitate a lot of things and where teams are and generate discussion about that and arguments. But Case, why don't you talk about the process of how they do that and then kind of go into a little bit of what we saw from this week?
Well, for those who are unfamiliar, there's one representative from each of the 32 teams, and we all put in our own rankings every week, and the rankings that are spit out are the aggregate of everyone.
Wait. You don't have one uninformed monkey doing this? That's well, you're already falling behind everybody else. But,
for the most part, I'm actually super proud of the product.
No, we got Jaguars fans, so we got at least one uneducated monkey. Sorry, Jags fans. Go ahead.
We've done a good job, in my opinion, and obviously there are people who disagree, of cultivating a group of people who take it, you know, as serious as you can expect a group of, you know, amateurs doing a weekly power ranking to take this thing, but who look at things from a unbiased as much as possible position, and we collectively you have 32 power rankings and none of the 32 power rankings are exactly the same. But they're all, every single person who does them has, you know, reasons for why they did things. They put thought into it and effort. Here's what happened. The Patriots came out number one. And that ruffled a lot of feathers this week. And I don't want to spend too much time talking about this. Right. I don't want to spend too much time talking about this because it was, you know, it's not Lions related. But I do think, you know, I caught a little flack for it in the Lions sub from one user who also was very upset on RNFL about the whole thing. And I don't think is representative of the Lions sub. But I caught a little bit of flack and for having the Patriots, you know, ranked number one. And I personally, you know, also voted for them number one. And I understand 100% why a lot of people don't think they should be. But the truth of the matter is, when it comes down to it, I still believe they're the best team in the league, and they haven't done enough wrong to convince me otherwise. And I don't enjoy that. That's part of the thing. Is like, people think, you know, we're biased towards the Patriots. Well, there's 32 fan bases involved here. Nobody but the Patriots fans like the Patriots. Okay, so like, nobody wants them to be good, but the one Patriots fan out of the 32. So that's not the idea. They had a bad week, and I can point to a number of reasons why I think they had a bad week. Bad matchups, flukes, and bad luck. And those are just not things that I expect to persist. And if I did, truly, if I didn't believe the Patriots were going to immediately rebound from this and jump back up to, I would not have placed them number one. It you know, it was something that I had to think about and really dig into, because I wasn't going to make that ranking without serious thought. And I truly don't believe that the Chiefs are the best team in the league, especially when you look at it from the angle of they lost one of their best two players on defense in this game for the year, Eric Berry. They lost him. He's gone. They're not going to be able to do what they did to the Patriots every week. And that's you know, people are allowed to, you know, disagree. You can, if you come and tell me you don't think the Patriots are the best team in the league, that's okay. Like, I could totally respect that. What we caught a lot of flack for was people saying things like, why bother having power rankings if you're just going to put the Patriots on there no matter what? And that wasn't true. Look at it like,
and week two could very well affect their status,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, absolutely. If you look at it like this, you know, the Patriots came in probably, you know, look at it on a numerical system from 1 to 100, and the Patriots are 99 coming in. Well, they're probably 95 now, maybe lower than that. But I just didn't have anybody with a higher number, you know, and that's a hypothetical. Like, I'm not actually saying that's the number I went off of, because I don't have a number system. I'm just saying hypothetically, I just didn't see anybody whose numbers, you know, added up to more than what I think the Patriots bring. And it's going to take more than one bad game to convince me. And now I hope that I'm convinced that they deserve to be lower. Like, that would be a good thing. I'm okay with that. I think that's good for the NFL if the Patriots aren't the best team in the league. They just have to, I need more than that.
Sure. So, and the thing about power rankings, we'll talk about them as the season goes on and where the Lions fall. I don't want to give that away just yet, but on these power rankings, the ones that really kind of, it didn't irk me because I'm not angry about it at all, but the one that kind of put the question mark up over my head instead of the light bulb was how the Bucs and the Dolphins didn't play, and they moved seven positions in aggregate closer to each other on the power ranking list. And neither one of their rosters changed, but they moved 22% of the total closer together. And that's tough because they didn't play, so you don't have anything to rank them on.
Yeah.
And I know other people move up and down, but I don't know that they necessarily got, and for lack of a better term, a fair shake based on their roster, rather than just get pushed around by other people that have played. Does that make sense? I don't think they got weighted appropriately.
Yeah, and
but part of the problem too is week one, and even before the season, when you're doing this, you just don't have enough data to place these things appropriately.
Right, and that's exactly it. You know, week one gave us some data, and so things like, I didn't know that the Texans were going to be as bad as they were. So I think they were a team that I had ranked above Miami before they played, and then I realized, well, there is nothing good happening here, and so I had to move them down. And it wasn't that I felt that Miami was a better team than they were previously, but I mean, that's just one example. There were several teams in the rankings, in my rankings, that ended up moving, you know, down. And even if Miami stays neutral, and I think it's a fluke, you know, to some degree, that I mean, if Miami and Tampa Bay had played, we wouldn't be having this conversation, because we'd have at least something to, you know, go off of. So I get that that's a weird thing. I understand. And I know Risden especially was like all up in arms about it, and I can't necessarily blame him for that. I would say that, like, unless I would like to have seen him do rankings in week zero and week one and see where he put those two teams, to see if he can justify, you know, leaving them in the exact same spot, despite, you know,
it's too bad we learned in week one. It's too bad we had to push this week, because we could really rail him on that one. So we'll try to remember next week to kick his ass on it a little bit. But so I think where we want to land on this, you know, the NFL power rankings, NFL.reddit.com, they come out on every Tuesday. And I got to tell you, it's well worth the read, the look, even if you're just wanting to take a look at what's going on with our upcoming opponent. You get some real good info out of those power rankings. So again, NFL.reddit.com on Tuesday. Check those out. And I think, Case, you are our uneducated monkey for the Lions subreddit doing the power rankings, right?
Been there for about 5 years.
That's great. That's great. The toughest 5 years of his life was remaining uneducated. Now, where did we wind up this week? Where are the Lions, and what does it mean for us against, well, when we look against the Giants, where do they fall in that as well?
Well, first of all, I will say I had them at number 13, which, I think, as anyone who listens to this show knows, I tend to drag my feet one way or the other. I will hesitate to say the Lions are great. I will also hesitate to say the Lions are terrible. So they moved up in my rankings by, I think, two or three spots from week zero. But they actually, they ended up at number 10 in the cumulative. So I wasn't trying to be a pessimist or anything like that, but a lot of people thought the Lions were, you know, pretty legit, and to put them in number 10 is obviously, you want to be solidly within the top 12 come the end of the year. So to be 10 now is good. So
yeah, and for our, I mean, there it is. You've lived up to the uneducated monkey piece, putting them lower than everybody else in the league did. So that's okay. But now, what about the Giants? What do we have an intel from those power rankings on the Giants? Garner from that?
They took a huge drop, and I think they're probably one of the teams that took one of the bigger drops. I personally, and I will admit that I was very wrong about this. I had them at number 3. On my week zero power rankings, because I love, and first of all, you have to take into account the OBJ effect, and that he's gone is going to majorly affect things. And so, like, had I known that he was going to be out, like, that's not how I would have ranked them, you know, initially. But the major, major, major thing is that I didn't realize how bad their offensive line is. They're just terrible. And I think we're going to be able to take advantage of that quite a bit. So I moved the most I think I've ever moved a team in a single week was that I moved the Giants from number 3 down to number 16. And overall, the Giants are ranked 14th in these rankings, in the NFL rankings. And I think that's a fair place to put them right now until they can prove that that offensive line isn't going to keep them from doing anything. I'll be surprised if we take a huge jump up if we beat them, just because everybody's going to be talking about how bad the Giants were if we beat them.
And once you're in the top 10, right, it takes a lot more to move up.
It really
right?
does.
You're starting to get into a lot of more elite competition. But you had a 4-position difference here between the teams. And with just the power rankings alone, you say the Lions would be favored to win. And I would agree with that. Now, the big wild card in this game, and let's move from the power rankings kind of to a preview of the game and what we think are the key points. Odell Beckham Jr. just said that he was told that he needs 6 to 8 weeks to recover from his sprained ankle.
And he's in week four now.
He's in week four now, but he's also showed up at practice.
Yeah. So.
And so if he'd hold on, him saying that, and you think about, get your head in OBJ's head, right? I was told I'd need 6 to 8 weeks. And here I am in four ready to play, right? He's talking about what a baller he is and how badass he is. That's, I think, where his head's at. And we got an article from Burkett who's saying that the Lions are saying there's no question OBJ plays on Monday night. I agree with what's in Burkett's article. I agree just with how OBJ is projecting right here. We're going to see him Monday night. Now, will he be the OBJ that he's supposed to be? Will he play at OBJ levels? I don't know. This is one of the things where, you know, I don't want to go into an arrogant an Ebron chat here, but this is one of the things we see where players that are a little bit arrogant hurt themselves. They do a little too much. They think a little too highly of themselves. And this is where there just might be an opportunity to exploit a weakened OBJ. I say they're right to prep for him, but he may be a liability for that Giants team. I'm certainly looking at this game as though he'll play, but I just can't see him coming back early from that gruesome injury and being super effective.
And the truth of the matter is, like, I kind of disagree. I'll be surprised if we see him. But also stranger things have happened. You know, the quote about him coming back, you know, that the Lions thought he was going to be back for this week came from Glover Quinn. And, you know, Glover Quinn was looking at it from a, you know, a competitor's perspective, and he doesn't necessarily have all the information. And he's thinking, you know, well, if there's a chance he's going to play, he's going to play. And maybe if Calvin Johnson was in the same situation, you can bet your ass that Calvin Johnson would have played. But I also don't think Odell Beckham Jr. is the same guy that Calvin Johnson is. And we're in a slightly different era, believe it or not. I know it seems, you know, but things
did I just age again?
Right, Case? Exactly. You know, you went to bed and woke up 10 years later.
It feels like it.
But no, I mean, I honestly will be a little bit surprised if he's on the field. And if he is, then I will say that, you know, we are probably looking at a situation. We remember when Calvin Johnson played in 2013, I want to say it was,
he was just a decoy.
The first year we picked up Tate and they played him as decoy. I won't be surprised if we see a little bit of that. But like I say, if I'm putting money down right now, I'm doubting he's playing this week. I'm doubting he's playing next week. I think he's coming back week four.
I think he plays this week and then doesn't play for three more weeks because he hurts it.
Just to spite us.
No, he's there's an arrogance to him and there's a stupidity in that. And I'm not trying to be mean, right? I'm not trying to be whatever. I just don't think I guess the real word is maturity that I'm looking for. And I don't think he has that yet. And I think this doing, you know, the things that I'm talking about will certainly lead him down the road to maturity. But at what expense? So we'll see. We could be right. We could be wrong. Where do you see the team lining up against the Giants overall with OBJ on or off the field?
Well, the thing is, like, I like our defensive line to continue what they did. They have a decent tight end in their rookie Ingram, but not necessarily enough to take advantage of our weakness in the linebacker core, and our strength in the secondary matches pretty well. The big question, and it is the OBJ related question, because if he's in, I think Brandon Marshall is going to take advantage of our linebackers. If he's not, I think Brandon Marshall is going to be forced to stay outside, and we'll get pretty much blanketed by our defensive backs. So I think that, you know, that's a big part of the game. On the other side of the ball, that's, they have, as probably a better defense than the Cardinals by a fair amount. Cardinals don't have a bad defense necessarily, but they lost a ton of talent in the offseason. So it wasn't a big surprise that they weren't, you know, perfect on that side of the ball. They do have a good secondary, and our receiver depth was able to take advantage of the Cardinals' secondary, despite how good they are, because we were able to use Kenny Galladay in a great way. They had Patrick Peterson on Marvin Jones. They had Tyrann Mathieu on Golden Tate, and those were, you know, good ways to limit those players in the game. Although, I mean, Golden Tate had a lot of receptions, a lot of yards, but he didn't break the game open. But they had to put their third cornerback on Kenny Galladay. And I don't know how, the truth is, like, I know the Giants have a good secondary, but I don't know how good their third cornerback is. And that was a game changer against the Cardinals, and it could be a game changer again. I'm not starting Kenny Galladay in the one league that I picked him up off the waiver wires this week, but I'm tempted. And that's as much as I'll say. Like, I won't be surprised if the fact that he's going up against the number three guy against the Giants is another, is another factor in this game. I don't think we're going to see much improvement from the run game. I don't think we're going to see a ton of scoring, but I still like our odds to, this is where Ebron steps up, because the Giants don't have strength in their linebacking core. So Ebron and Riddick and Abdullah in the pass game, this is where that shows up.
For sure. All right. So that's a look at the Giants against the Lions coming up Monday night. God, I love to have a Monday night game. So good. So early in the season too, that we're getting some national love. And again, no post-game show, unfortunately. As a result, you guys need your beauty sleep. So it's just what you're going to have to do. So tuck in afterwards. We'll record the night after, and you'll see us on the standard timeline Wednesday morning, Tuesday night, really, really late. But we'll be there. We'll be there the normal time as this week, and then we'll start the post-game show after the game against the Falcons. So that's going to be fun. We're going to have some good guests. We're going to have some good content. But
hey, Levi, if you're listening, you better call in. I miss you.
All right. So let's move in. This is the world-renowned section of the show. We've heard from Hungary. We've heard from around the world about this. When we take you guys to the place known as Around the Division!
Oh, yeah. I'm so glad to actually have some real news to give you guys this whole merry-go-round.
Oh, that was good, wasn't it?
We will, as always, and continues to be, start at the bottom with the Bears.
Power bottom Bears.
Now, here's what I'll say. You know, I wish I could come into this segment and tell you the Bears were awful. They weren't awful.
No.
They lost, which is good. We like to see the Bears losing. But they played one of the better teams in the league and a team that I think probably had a little bit of an off game. So I won't necessarily credit the Bears too much. But overall, you know, the Bears defense especially did a really good job against one of the most stacked offensive rosters in the league in the Atlanta Falcons. They really, they came down to the end kind of situation. They lost by 6, but it was probably a closer game than a 6-point game. Again, I think a lot of that you could probably chalk up to being week one. I think that the Bears' lack of offense outside of their run game is going to be a major hurdle for them. They continue to lose players on the offensive side of the ball. Their quarterback and wide receiver situations are downright bad. However, they do have this kid who is, he could be the next Ameer Abdullah. And if he stays healthy, he could surpass him. And that saddens me to say, but this Tariq Cohen, the human joystick, they call him, he is really impressive.
I wouldn't want that nickname. No, I wouldn't want that.
It's
nickname.
Probably better than Muscle Hamster, but not by a lot. but no, he's really impressive. He's got that kind of he's in that mold of Riddick and Abdullah, where he's a good receiver and he's got those crazy cuts. He's got enough speed to get around the edge and make guys miss in the open field. He is going to be dangerous, and when he's on the field, he's the kind of guy that I hope that we have a linebacker, you know, spying as opposed to letting plays go as they otherwise would. And Howard is still good. I think maybe last year was overreach in terms of like where he's going to end up on a year-to-year basis, but he is very good. So they have two very good running backs. They might have one of the best running attacks in the league, but that's overshadowed by the fact that they just have very little going on in the pass game. And, you know, points-wise, you know, it's, I think the mold of the good defense, great run game is a, you know, a thing that can win you a few games in the NFL. It's not a mold that's going to win you anything of major significance. So they look good, and I can't guarantee 2 wins against them. I'd like to. I hope that after next week I can. But they're also not going to win the division. They're not going to go to the playoffs this year. I think.
Will they remain a power bottom? Is the key.
They're going to, I see them as a 6-win team, which is not, it's not an insult.
Okay, so they're backing in hard.
Right.
They're backing in hard.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Right. So.
Okay, let's move on to the team that hired the team consultant to teach them how to be cool.
I thought that was a very special thing. you know what? The truth is there are probably a lot of teams that do kind of stuff like that. Or, you know, there's companies in the world that do things like, I don't know if you ever watched the cartoon Mission Hill. It's one of my very favorites, an old Adult Swim cartoon. But one of the main characters, it works as a consultant. He's, in, you know, he's not 18 years old. He's in his early 20s. But you get the idea. He works as a consultant for a company as like, what's cool? And it's sort of a 90s idea, though, to hire the new generation guy to you know, help them figure out what's cool. So it's fun to poke fun there. They played really well. Really, really well. against.
It was a little bit scary, wasn't it?
Yeah. Now, okay, so I'm going to say the good things. I'm going to say what was good about the Vikings, and then I'm going to put some caveats on it. Okay. So, Sam Bradford is an incredibly accurate passer when he's not being pressured. So there's your caveat.
All right.
He's an incredibly accurate passer when he's not being pressured. He wasn't pressured. So, there's that. Their offensive line looked okay against a really bad defensive line. Their wide receiver core looked amazing against maybe the worst secondary in the league. So they were able to take advantage of a team that was weak in a lot of places. And actually, I shouldn't go too far on saying the Saints' defensive line was terrible. They were really good at limiting the run early in the game until, you know, a couple things happened late. But it was clear that their focus was, you know, to stuff the run, and they did a good job on that. And I think, you know, that doesn't necessarily bode well for Minnesota, despite the way Cook finished with his stat line. I'm not going to be surprised if a lot of teams are able to shut down the run against them still, you know, this year. So there's that. And then on the other side of the ball, the Vikings defense looked fantastic against a Saints offense that usually looks amazing. But if you watched it, you could see that any team at all that has decent defensive ends is going to terrorize the Saints, because not only were they starting a rookie at left tackle, but they lost their starting right tackle early in the game, and the Vikings were just able. I think it was in the third quarter, but once their starting right tackle and their, you know, rookie left tackle were the ones in the game for them, it was over. It was absolutely over. There was the Drew Brees still looks like a great quarterback, but he has no time at all. And the truth of the matter is, the Vikings aren't going to run up against a situation where they match up that well again, probably again this season. So
all this game did was set Vikings fans up for a harder fall.
Which is funny, and I know I've gone back to it over and over again. I think I even talked about it on our last show. The Vikings fans are on such a pendulum. They will go from the most optimistic to the most pessimistic to the most optimistic, and probably once again to the most pessimistic soon fans you'll ever meet. All it'll take is one bad game from that team, and I think they'll have bad games. They'll have bad games.
Yeah, they're going to be at Pittsburgh. They're going to be at Pittsburgh next week. It's going to be a bad game, and then they're, you know, the Lions will take them out, and that'll be good. And that'll be it. That'll be the pendulum will swing back to pessimism form for the rest of the season. But you're right. I think they matched up well. I think the Saints this year are overrated. I think this will be Sean Payton's last year. I don't think that they're as great as they used to be, or even as great as people think.
They used to have a good offensive line. And that's it. They used to have a good offensive line that allowed them, even through these lean years, the last 3 years, where they've gone 7-9 three times in a row, they've had a decent offensive line. And that's allowed Breeze to be Breeze. And they don't have that now. And
I will say that, you know, if you want to be frustrated, go ahead and go to the Vikings sub, but don't be surprised when you see the sidebar image is a really badly redo of our Stafford meme. I mean,
they should be ashamed of themselves.
It's actually worse than calling Galladay Babytron. This is just so derivative and unimaginative. It really is a stain on an already stained fan base. This is really taking it to a new low. So ugly. All right, let's move on. What do you got for the Packin' crew?
Unfortunately, I have
bad news. Tell me nothing.
No, I have news. It's just not good news.
Tell me nothing then.
Well, the news is the Packers might be one of the top three teams in the league.
Oh, God damn it.
I don't want to say that. I really don't. One thing I had mentioned that bore to fruition in week one was that I think the Packers defense is probably better than it has been in a while, and not it's all because of the young guys they've got that are developing. You know, the Lions have a lot of young players on defense that have developed over the last few years, and that's been good for them. Well, the Packers have that also. There's a lot of names on that defense that you don't know yet that you'll know after we play them a couple times this year. It's not that I think the Seattle offense is great at all. I don't, and I think their, you know, their offensive line is a major problem too. You'll notice there, every good team in this league right now has a decent offensive line. Every bad team, and even some of the good teams, have bad offensive lines. And there's just too many. There's a lot of bad offensive line play to go around. So if you're a team like the Lions who have a decent, not necessarily great, but a decent offensive line, you're in a good position relative to the league right now. The Seahawks just weren't able to do anything against the Packers offensively, and that's kind of depressing. The Packers were held in largely in check on offense by the Seattle defense, which is good, but the Seattle defense is probably one of the top three in the league. And so that the Packers were still able to get a few things done is also not necessarily a good thing. So I wish I had good news to report on that front. We need to
That's
hope.
Bullshit,
we need to hope for some, like, I'm not, I should change my phrasing on that. We aren't hoping that, you know, somebody gets hurt or anything like that necessarily. but we need to hope for something to go wrong in Green Bay. If
a regression to the mean,
right? The Lions need to be the best version of the Lions, and the Packers need to be the worst version of the Packers for us to, you know, come away with anything meaningful this year. And I'm not saying the worst version of the Packers.
No, I wouldn't say the worst version. If the Lions are the best version of themselves, the Packers can stumble, and be like a 66% version of themselves, not the worst version of themselves.
Well, I won't argue with that.
Okay, all right.
It's a tough division overall this year, though. We may come out of this year looking at the NFC North as maybe the best division in the league. After what I saw week one, that wouldn't surprise me.
That's a heady prediction at this point, but we'll see. All right, that's going to do it for this week in Reddit. Let's move on. We've got a huge segment here for you guys. It's time.
If you ever needed an excuse to drink, this is it. Time for Fan Sanity.
That's right. It's time for Fan Sanity. We got a great call this week on the Lions line. He's really an old friend of the show. He's been calling in since year one. It's Roche Crowder. He's our guy from Arizona, of all places. He called in. You too can call and join the show. Leave us a voice message. You do it via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast. It's all one word. It's the user Detroit Lions Podcast, or use the old Lions line. 929-33-LIONS. It's 929-335-4667. You can give us a call just like we got from Roche.
What up, Chris and Case? This is your boy Roche from Arizona. Just checking in. Just want to let y'all know I checked out all the episodes on the off season. I'm still keeping in every time y'all throw a episode up. I'm listening to it. True fan out here. I just want y'all to know if we don't beat the Cardinals this Sunday, bro, I don't even know. I gotta walk around work all day, listening to my coworkers, and I'm talking back. They talking. I got Lions all on my car every time I roll around. They know what's up. But I just hope we can push it out, man. I hope that O-line hold up. I hope our offense just do work. Man, I'm excited. I really am. But I just want to let y'all know I'm hyped for the year. I'm hyped to hear y'all. Y'all the best podcast out there, hands down. I listen to a bunch of different Lion podcasts because this radio station here is all about the Cardinals, which, you know, I'm in Arizona, so that makes sense. But, man, I listen to multiple podcasts, and y'all got the best one, hands down. But y'all my favorite. Keep doing your thing. Let's go. Let's go, Lions. Woo!
All right. Hey, Roche, thanks a lot for that, man. That's really kind words about the podcast. Obviously, this was before the Cards game, but the Lions were able to deliver, and so was Roche, huh? He's out there in Arizona repping, letting the Cards fans know what's up. I mean, what was the stat? Stafford was 0-4 against the Cards before this game. He had to be sweating a little bit. It wasn't because of the desert heat, right?
Cards had won 7 games in a row. So every single time somebody pops up with one of those SOL things, they always try to look at, you know, one streak or another. And for a long time, it was the Lions not winning in Lambeau. Those things do come to an end, people.
Yeah, thank God. Sooner than later, though. But yeah, I hated the Cards recently, and it was nice to get this win. We saw them so many years in a row, just the way the scheduling worked. It was so frustrating that they were getting the best of us. But nice to see that win. And Roche, thanks for the call, man. Always great. Again, guys, remember, you can give us a call. Get on the show. Leave a message on the Lions line. We love it. And I'm sure we'll hear from Roche again before the end of the year. Remember, guys, this show, we're looking for your involvement. Use the comments in the sub to give us your feedback, all right? Let us know what you think of the show, what works, what doesn't, and we will adjust accordingly, as long as you're not an uneducated monkey like Case. Also, don't forget about us on Patreon, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, or go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on the Patreon link. We got some good gifts coming up for these Patreon guys real soon here, guys. Thanks for bearing with us as we go out, and thanks for being donators. You guys' support is very, very meaningful and helpful for the show. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. That's facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. And on the Tweeter Maker, get your Tweeter made at DET Lions Podcast. It's DET Lions Podcast. It is the very best place to see Case.
With no pants on.
That's right. The best way to see Case. Also, help us out by using that shop link on the website. You get to Amazon, SeatGeek, or Fanatics to get all your great gear. Use that shop link. There's no funny pop-ups, no other crazy stuff, but it's a great way to support the show by doing something you were going to do anyway. Lastly, go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast so we can come in your little box automatically. Who wouldn't want that? Thank you for tuning in, and we're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions podcast. It's your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags, start the plane. This show is over.
Let's bring it in here together. Let's go.
Let's go, baby. Lions on three. 1, 2, 3. Lions!